This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now?
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Well, we're back again, and I'm so excited about being with you today. You know, I'm a little tired, and as we go along, I know I'm just going to get pumped up here, but right now I'm a little tired. I don't know how you're feeling today. You know, it's been raining, and the weather, and just everything that goes on. It's just, it's been tiring. But you know what? It's wonderful, and I'm so happy to be alive, and I know you are too. People say, what is the Sue Freeze Show about? What do you do, Sue? What do you do on that show? And do you talk about bugs? And I say, no, I don't talk about bugs. Not much anyway. Sometimes it comes up just because it is a part of my life. But on the most part, what we do here is it exists to empower you. Are you in need of passion, purpose, connection? This show is about getting to know you. What are you passionate about? Ask yourself that question. What are you passionate about? What is your purpose on this earth? What were you created for? Have you ever asked yourself this? When do you feel connected to another person? What is it that happens? When do you feel the most connected? Who are you? Now that's a big one. It is not what we do for a living that determines who we are. Our actions say who we are. When you are vulnerable, authentic, transparent, and teachable, going through challenging experiences can grow and we can learn from one another. This journey is a process where you will be able to receive and discover who you are. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? And I tell people that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Are you letting people know that you care? Today, I have an exciting guest. Yesterday, I was in San Diego, and I was on a different show, and they were saying that this same guest was going to be with them also. And I was thinking, wow, this person is getting around just like I'm getting around, because I have some exciting news. My show, The Sue Freeze Show, is now being syndicated. We are now in San Diego, we're in Santa Maria, Santa Barbara, and of course here in KKLA. And so it's very exciting to have Nazareth on our show. And I've heard Nazareth before, and I'm going to give you a little bit of background on him. Nazareth is an inspirational, he does inspirational comedy that's reached millions. Comedy Central, the 700 Club, and the NBC Nightly News. Nazareth was born the youngest of three brothers in the Holy Land. He lived for part of his life in Kuwait. Nazareth's parents wanted him to find a better life. So in 1984, they sent him to college in Toledo to study engineering. Wow, that's interesting, Nazareth. We're going to go there. Few years later, Nazareth showed up at a California comedy club for open mic night. Within a few months, he won the Laugh Stops comedy competition and became one of the new faces at the Improv, the number one comedy club in the United States. Nazareth served as the president of the Christian Comedy Association. Beyond the stage, Nazareth and his wife of 13 years and their three young children reside in Southern California. Nazareth, it's so good to have you on this show.
Thank you for having me on. This is great. It's good. It's always an honor to be on the radio because you don't know who's listening, and that's amazing.
That's so amazing that you say that, because I was telling you before we got on the show, I asked you to pray and you prayed and I said we were in alignment, which is, I love the way God works, but we were in alignment because the way you were praying is exactly how I pray, is that a person could be driving in their car and feeling really down, and you just want to be able to reach those people. You want to be the vessel to where God can reach them, to tell them that there is hope, that life doesn't have to stay helpless, and it won't, but they just need to look up. And when you prayed the prayer, I was just like, wow, that's so incredible. And I also said, you know, it's really different because you're a comedian. You have an audience that looks at you, and you're looking at them, and you can see if you're making an impact because you can see their faces.
Right, right. Comedians do look for the instant gratification, the instant response from the audience. And when you do radio, you don't get that.
Nope.
But you do touch people because I came to Christ when I was 28. I wasn't born into the believing Christian home. I was born into a mainstream secular Christian home. So before coming to Christ, when I used to drive for a long time, you just flip the radio and you're down. And when you see someone speaking, you want to listen for 2 minutes. And then if something encouraging, you listen.
Uh-huh.
And that could change the direction of your life, especially if you're sharing Christ, because the Word of God will not come back void. And you said in the beginning of the program, this is a program about, you know, who you are. I mean, I believe I'm a person that God put me on this earth to encourage people. So I would, and that's what I do. I encourage people through comedy, through laughter, I have a powerful weapon called the gospel. So if you don't have anything that encourages you, I think the story of God loving you so much and dying on the cross for you, I mean, really, he's not mad at you. He wants to have a relationship with you. I mean, that should encourage anybody. But one of the stories, I'm going to wait for you to ask questions, but one of the... You know, you said something that you don't have to stay that way. You know, as I said, when I came to Christ in 92, I was a single man. And I didn't want to date. I said, Lord, I promise you I'm not going to date. I'm not going to touch a woman. I'm not going to do anything. If you have a wife for me and you bring her to me. And that was my prayer. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. And in 1995, my father was dying. And he said, son, would you do me a favor? I said, why? He said, would you go to Israel for me? I said, sure. He said, would you go to the Gaza Strip for me? You know, the Muslim part of Israel. I'm like, no, I'm not. And when he passed away, I did. I flew into Israel. I was the most miserable person on that plane. I'm like, hey, I'm touring. I'm doing great. Why am I leaving my tour to do this? But I'm doing it for that. So I get to the Gaza Strip. And the first night I'm there, I get in Tel Aviv. I drive to Gaza. And I meet my cousin, who's from Baltimore, visiting there. He's getting married, and his fiancée is with him, and her sister. So we were at dinner, and they asked me, they go, why are you so happy? What's wrong with you? And I go, you know what? I'm glad you asked. Jesus Christ changed my life. I was always worried about dying and about what's going to happen to me after I die, and happen if there's a God and all that. But you know what? Jesus Christ changed my life, and I have hope now. And he goes, don't listen to him, girls. He's a born-again Christian.
Oh, yeah.
And her sister looks at me and she goes, me too. And all of a sudden, I just blurted out. I started shaking and I didn't mean it. And I said, would you like to marry me?
Oh!
And she goes, I've been praying for a believer to come to this side of the world. Let me pray and fast for 3 days. I'll get back to you.
Oh, wow.
And 3 days later, she came back. She goes, I'm starving. Let's do it. And we got engaged. We got engaged within 5 days of me meeting her. And a year later, I went back and got married. And we've been married for almost, right now, it's 14 years. And the thing is, one day I was single. The next day, I was planning for a wedding. And this is life. One day you're unemployed. The next day, you're planning for the new job. One day, you're in debt. The next day, you're going, wait a minute, this God just sent this money, and how I'm going to pay this and adjust it. You know what? Life changes within a day.
Not even a day. Life can change in
an
a minute.
Hour. In a minute.
Nazareth, I looked up in Bible Gateway. I check this often because it just makes it easy for me, but I looked up the word laugh. Uh-huh. In Bible Gateway to see, you know, if it's in the Bible. Of course, I knew it was in the Bible, but I didn't know how many times. Do you know it's in there 38 times?
Yes. In fact, when I teach my comedy classes, this is something I talk about, how God has a sense of humor and how many times, you know, how we need to laugh. And that's, you know what? I didn't know exactly 38 times, but that's awesome. That's Bible Gateway. Did they add text to that?
Well, they have Genesis 17:17. My favorite number is 17, so I thought it was interesting that the first time it is in the first book, Genesis 17:17, it says, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90?
Right.
And then Genesis 18:12 says, so Sarah laughed. So she laughed too. She laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?
Right.
So in the first book, there is many, many times laughed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 that I can see on the screen.
And
Genesis.
You know what? When Sarah laughed the first time, it was a worldly laughter, the laughter you hear in comedy clubs. The sarcastic laughter, really. Yeah, sure, right.
Yeah.
That's funny. And then when she had Isaac, and she named her son Isaac, God's friend, Abraham, names his firstborn Isaac, laughter. And then when she saw that God answers prayers, and when she saw that God fulfills his promises, that's when she laughed the laughter that every Christian should laugh. Oh my God, I can laugh because I know God answers prayers.
Yes. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA, and we're talking to Nazareth. He's a comedian, and if you've never heard him, you've got to find him wherever he is, and I'm sure he's got a calendar that's long, and you'll be able to find him. I'll have your information up on my SueFreeze.com page, and I have a podcast to where this show, if someone misses this show and wants to hear it later, they can, just by going on the SueFreeze.com. And SueFreeze is spelled like fries, just a little commercial there because I want people to be able to find this and other things. We have videos and all kinds of things on there. Also, I want to invite the listeners, if they want to call in and talk to us about anything, you can do that. The phone number is 888-995-5552. Again, 888-995-5552. I can't believe I don't have that memorized yet. So, Nazareth, I want to ask you, how did you get your name?
Well, I was born in the Holy Land in Israel, and in Nazareth, and that's what they named me for. I always say it's a family tradition, and I feel sorry for my brother Waikiki, my other brother Albuquerque, and my sister Buffalo. But that's how I, and people still to this day come to me, you know what, hey, how is your sister Buffalo?
Oh, that's funny. Did September 11th have an impact on your career?
You know, it has a great impact on my career.
How?
Well, number one, before September, I was a professional comedian before I became a Christian. And when I came to Christ, I stayed I started doing comedy in the churches. And what happened is, right after September, people say, what were you doing September 11th? I was hiding. That's what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't know what's going to happen. I'm like, Lord, I mean, my country, the U.S., is burning. I mean, and it's the Middle Easterns who did it, and now I don't know what's going to happen. I know my career is over. I used to do jokes about having a four-story tent with a two-camel garage, and then my sister, you know, I go to her tent, take Barbie hostage, and she sends G.I. Joe to get him back. that's what happened. But then after that, God just affirmed me. He said, no, I want you to do this, and I want you to continue to let people know how much you love this country and how much you love Christ. And that's when I started the Proud to Be an American tour, where I encouraged our military and our soldiers for people to pray for them, and we raised money for them through my comedy concerts. So, but it changed. I'll tell you why. And this is, we have to be honest as Christians. You know, there was a problem, a challenge with the church itself. The body of Christ became hateful to Arabs and to Middle Easterns.
Mm-hmm.
And with many justifications. I mean, there were so many pastors and Christian and newscasters everything saying, how terrible were the Arabs? How terrible, you know? And you know what? I'm not judging, but I'm saying, love your enemy. I mean, there was a time where people just, Christians, especially Christians, just were so scared of Middle Eastern people. And I mean, I got to be honest, when I get on a plane and there was another Middle Eastern, I was nervous too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, but there was a time where there's like, you know what, we have to love our enemies. We have to reach out for them. And God had to deal with me too. I was just avoiding like any immigrant who his culture becomes the enemy. It's just, he tries to avoid. I mean, my biggest joke was like, hi, I'm from the Middle East, but ever since September 11th, I feel so Mexican. And that was the feeling, but there wasn't that. I thought after that, after the thing came down, if people would start to understand the difference between a regular secular Muslim and a militant, they start to understand the difference between a Christian Arab and a militant, and that wasn't happening, and that wasn't. And the prayer was like, come on, we as Christians, this is the time we can reach the Middle East. Look what's going on today in the Middle East. Libya, Egypt, Jordan, Bahrain, and the other countries, they're all erupting in conflict. They don't like their governments. Mm-hmm. And my prayer that they would have secular governments, that Christians from the U.S., like the ones in China do it, to go and infiltrate the Middle East and reach people for Christ.
I was in a program last night for Women's Night Out, and they were talking about how much impact we can have. Sometimes we feel we're just singled out, or how much impact do we have as individuals? But we are Christians, and we're not just individual. We can do things on an individual basis. And they were talking about hunger, and they were talking about children that are being separated from their parents because of just basic necessities. And if we can just put some money together, put some energy, some time together, and if we all work together, that we can keep these children with their parents and we can keep them with their families united. And it was an amazing story, and I was just I was so impressed with it because it is just one mouth at a time, one person at a time, and it's all of us just doing what we can do, what God has equipped us to do in order to make a difference in this world. We're all called to do it. It's just a matter of if we're going to do it or not, if we're going to be obedient.
Exactly. And then, I mean, this is a fertile harvest time. The Middle East right now is a harvest time for Christians, especially women. I mean, if I don't understand why any woman in the world would not be a follower of Jesus Christ, who gave freedom to women. He gave liberty. He took, the Jews didn't know how to treat the women back in the Old Testament. If you look at the Islamic world right now, many of these countries, they don't, the way they treat their women. I mean, why aren't Christian women going out there and reaching these women in those parts of the world and going, you know what, in Christ there's liberty. There's so much that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a comedian. I'm not a politician. I love this country. I love the dirt in this country. I was in Egypt and Gaza last August. I came back to the U.S. and I just wanted to kiss the ground. I mean, that's how much I love this country, and I love being a believer. I love being surrounded by the body of Christ, and I'm not judging or I'm not criticizing, but I say we need to get off that we have nothing to do with Muslims or Arabs. If Jesus said love your enemy, let's consider him enemy and let's reach him, let's love on them to bring him to Christ. This is the time. We have a ministry that we started 2 years ago called Voice of Refugees. And what we do is we go out there and we give, when a family comes from Iraq, which mostly from Iraq, they come here and they don't know what's going on. We take them, we give them furniture, we teach them how to drive, we teach them how to apply for a job, we give them English as second language classes, and in the process, we don't witness to them, we don't preach to them, but in the process they said, why you guys love us that much? And that's when the opportunity opens, and we have great success with that.
So on another note, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm just curious, what's it like in your home? What's the importance of humor in your home?
Oh, this is very important, very important. I wrote a book called You're So Funny, Daddy, and it's still not published. We're still going through Tyndale the big one. I won't mention their names because they might not pick it up. But, it's about the importance of humor in our communication. The home, Sue, is not the place where a father comes and lets out his stress on his family because the economy is bad or because his boss was rude or because the money is not there. Kids cannot handle stress like we do. And I want to encourage every parent listening. You know what? When you open that garage door, when you unlock that door to walk into the house, stop for a minute, say a little prayer, said, my home is a home of a house of laughter. My home and my kids should know that I, as a believer, you know, I'm not affected, I'm not changed by the economy, but I have Christ, that, you know, I have hope in Christ, and I know my God is bigger, and I know, you know, and I will not let my kids see my stress. And the reason I say that, so I just give two scenarios. And one scenario is, let's say you have a teenage child, a son or daughter, who had a hard day at school, and he comes home, and he's at the dinner table, and dad is coming and saying, I've had a bad day, I can't handle it, I don't know how long this is going to take. And do you think, at night, when that father put that teenager to bed and prays with him, do you think that teenager will open up and tell dad what's going on, what was went on in school? No. But he doesn't want to, or she doesn't want to add stress to mom or dad.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other chance, and that's what I do at my home, you come in and they say you're a comedian. No, it's not because I'm a comedian. I made the deliberate decision that my house will be a house of laughter. So when I come home, I say, hey, kids, let's not turn TV. We don't want to watch what, you know, our neighbor's killing the other neighbor and our neighbor's dog bit someone or something bad in the news. Let's, here's a YouTube video that I saw today. It's funny and appropriate. Let's watch. Who has a joke for that?
Oh, that's cool.
And we do. We do the funniest joke of the week. We do, you know, what's funny that happened in your day today. And, you know, at the end of the day, if a father or a mother does that, do you think that teenager would open up? Of course they will. They go, you know what? My mom or dad are cool. I can open up. I'm not going to add stress to them. They can handle it. And then you open up. And then, so communication, just two scenarios. Communication gets better when you laugh with your spouse, with your children, with your loved ones. Because, you know, the economy, it's been over 2 years. It's not going to change overnight. But that doesn't mean you don't laugh. Laughter is not going to take your problem away. If your house is on foreclosure right now, you're listening, laughter is not going to change that. But when you remove yourself for 10 minutes and laugh or watch something humorous or funny and you come back to your situation, it changed. It is now, you know, it's, you can handle it. Why? Because God said laughter is good medicine. When you laugh, the pituitary gland in your brain produces endorphin. Endorphin, it's like, it's better than any drug, it's better than cocaine, better than marijuana, better than anything. It gives you a sense, a feeling of, you know, you become, you know, happier.
That is so true, too. There's a time, you know, in Ecclesiastes. I'm having tongue-tied today.
You foreigners, you don't even speak English.
I know, seriously. And
Go back to your country.
And I have the accent, right?
You do.
Yes,
you do.
Of course I do.
You need to work on it.
Yes, in Ecclesiastes, when, you know, turn, there's a season to laugh and a season to mourn and those things. You know, I think about that. But I also think, I was just saying this to a friend of mine, that, you know, when I cry, very, very rare I cry, but when I cry, you know, it does something for me. But when I laugh, it seems like it does so much more for me. When I laugh, it's just, it does something more.
You know, one thing I teach at my comedy classes is there's a story by a journalist named Norman Cousins back in the 70s in Johns Hopkins. No, actually, Loma Linda University, and did a study on him. This man had a chronic illness, a fatal illness. And what happened, the doctors gave up on him, and he said, and he did this. He started watching comedy, like America's Funniest Videos and stand-up comedy, and he started watching comedians, and he found out that for every 10 minutes of laughter, he was getting 2 hours of pain-free.
Really?
Yes. So, and it's proven. It was proven by Johns Hopkins University, by Loma Linda University, and they found out that for 10 minutes of laughter, where you're just laughing, you will get 2 hours of pain-free. So if you have chronic pain, you know, that's one solution to cut down on the pain. And it's laughter is beautiful. You know, when we laugh, not only endorphin that makes us feel well and better, but there are three other hormones that are not produced as much when we laugh. And those hormones lift our ability, our immune system to defend the body. So when you laugh, you're strengthening your immune system. At the same time, your well-being is better. You feel better.
I know I do. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. If you want to call in, phone number is 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. We do have a caller, and this person just wants to know, how long have you been a comedian?
I've been a comedian for 21 years right now. I started in the comedy clubs in Hollywood, in the Comedy Store, the Improv, the Laugh Factory, and L.A. Cabaret. And then from there, when I came to Christ, I started moving into the church market.
How can parents add more humor in their home? Give them some suggestions on how they can bring more humor. You did a little
good bit,
but...
Yes. One of the best things to do is when you wake them up in the morning... Go to their bed and jump on their bed. Wake them up and start laughing. Or pull their toes or do something. Or, you know, start singing to them. My wife sings to the kids in the morning. She's loud and obnoxious singing. And you know, we did a survey. Our ministry, Comedy Crusade, did a survey on laughter and you know, the importance of laughter when the parents do. And one lady, she said, you know what? We grew up poor. We didn't have much. And I remember, I didn't remember the fights Mom and Dad have, but I remember that Dad used to come and jump on the bed and wake us up. And I hated it, and hated it, and hated it. But 30 years later, I'm laughing at it, and I'm laughing at it. And guess how I raised my kids when I woke them up? I jumped on their bed. And it's legacy. You will leave a legacy when you laugh. So other ways, you know what? Do joke of the week in the house. You know, whoever comes up at the end of the week, who has the best joke, every day they come up with a joke, and whoever has the best joke in that week wins something, a $5 Starbucks card, a movie ticket, whatever it is. You just encourage that. So your family is looking now for jokes. Who finds the funniest clean YouTube? That's funny. Another thing we recommend, sit down with your family instead of watching, you know, CSI or, you know, two people, you know, one body is dead and they show the corpse for half an hour and they try to figure out who killed them and in the process they fall in love. We don't need this on TV. When we let them watch good, clean stand-up comedy, watch America's Funniest Videos. Watch it together because the family that laughs together stays together. When the kids see Mom and Dad laugh with them, they're more open to take discipline. And when Mom and Dad are upset and say, don't do that, then they're more believable. Instead of saying, oh, they're always mad, what's new? No. They go, no, my dad. You know, it develops friendship. Kids love, I'm going to prove it to you. Let's say next time you go to a relative's home and, you know, you got a reunion and you don't want to be there. And what you do is go hang with the kids and just smile. Tell them a little knock-knock joke and leave. And I can guarantee you those kids will be coming after you. They will not leave you alone. And every time they ask their parents, ask them, who's your favorite relative? They will mention your name. They go, why? I don't know. Well, I know, because you made a child laugh. You made a child laugh. That's magic. They get hooked to you. They get attached to you. That's funny. Other ways to make them, other than watching TV, coming up, you know, if your boss show you at work, you watch a funny YouTube, come and share it at home. Hey, kids, I got a funny YouTube. Let's watch this together.
That is so good. That is so
pranking.
Good.
Pranking is the best way. I have a story if you have a minute.
So. Not right now. We're going to go to break.
Okay.
So we will be back with more of the Sue Freeze Show and... Nazareth on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives, like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas. And their new Ecola Heat, using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
So we're back with Nazareth, and I'm looking through this little book. I have a little book. It's called God's Little Instruction Book for the Workplace, and I read this. And one of the things it says here is, he has achieved success who has lived well, laughed often, and loved much. Go then, eat your bread in happiness, and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works. And that's Ecclesiastes 2.
That's awesome, because God turned water into wine, and the church turned wine into grape juice.
Right, and that was the first miracle, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
Yeah, and we ruined it. We turned it into grape juice.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I kind of like grape juice better than wine, but, you know, I'm not a wine connoisseur, so.
I know.
Yeah.
But I got to share this story with you about prank your children. Parents, prank your children. They will love it. You know, this is a story. A friend of mine named Bruce, he lives near, north of Fresno. He's in, you know, him and his wife, they have two college kids who went to college, and they came back home, and they said, from New Mexico, and they came home and said, Mom and Dad, we're graduating, and you're coming to the graduation. And Dad said, no, I'm sorry, I can't. What do you mean, Dad? You know, my job won't allow me, and, you know, they're letting people go. I don't want to lose my job. Dad, it's graduation. Come on. I can't go. Sorry. You drive with your mom, and I would just videotape it for me. So Mom takes the car, takes the two kids, and drives with them to New Mexico. In the way, while she's driving, she gets lost deliberately. And she pulls on a dirt road, and the kids go, Mom, this is wrong. This is the wrong road. And she goes, I don't know. We'll get back. And while they're driving, they see a man holding a sign, a homeless man holding a sign, said, my two boys are graduating. I need a ride. And it's Bruce, who did an agreement with his wife that she would drive. He flies to New Mexico. He meets him halfway. And they drive together to the...
That is such a funny story.
And when they got to the graduation, all they could talk about is how their dad pranked them. And it's so funny. To this day, they talk about it. And it's just, it's so funny when, you know, when kids love to say, hey, my dad did this to me. You know what? Another thing, moms, put a joke in your kid's lunchbox. When they go to school, they're opening the lunchbox, and there's a joke from Mom. It's funny. I mean, they laugh.
You know, when I hear a good joke, I only like clean jokes. And I know you do mostly clean things, right? Because you're a Christian.
No, I do all clean things.
Oh, good. Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. And there was only one other time that I heard a comedian, and it was on a boat, a ship, a yacht, whatever. And I was just so happy to be in that place, because usually when you go to a comedy act, it's not clean. And I always tell people, you know, if you have a joke, because they're saying, oh, I want to tell you this joke. And the first question I say is it clean? Because if it's not clean, I don't want to hear it.
Exactly.
And it's not because I'm prude. It's just because I really just don't want to hear it. And so when I hear a really good joke that's clean, there was a bird joke once, and I thought, I got to remember that joke. I can't remember that doggone joke. And I wish I could, because it was really, really, really funny. And it was clean. So
yeah,
I get frustrated.
Right.
My little sister, Darcy, she remembers jokes like crazy. I mean, she'll always have a joke. And it's like, oh, I got to tell you this joke. And I'm like, how do you remember those jokes? She goes, I don't know. I just remember them. So she doesn't even write them down. But anyway.
You know what? I want to encourage you guys. You know, our Ministry Comedy Crusade, we've been doing, you know, we've been in the, we're bringing humor to the body of Christ. We're tickling the funny bone of the body of Christ. And what we're doing is we have an agency where we book Christian comedians, but at the same time, a dream of mine is coming true. Starting next in May, we're opening the first Christian comedy club. It's all clean comedy. It's not a preaching comedy. It's not like, oh, you're going to preach to me. No, it's a comedy club that's fully functioning comedy club, and it's going to be all clean comedy. So you don't have to hear dirty stuff.
Where is this at?
We're going to start it in Rialto, California, and
okay.
It's starting in May, and it's going to be once a month, and then as we get the audience, we're going to go into more days until it becomes an everyday club.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, so this is going to be as it comes. I would love to send you some information, let your listeners and people like you who love to laugh. Christians love to laugh. And we don't have to. You know, people need to laugh, but they don't need... The reason people do dirty humor is because the shock value.
Right.
There's a shock value to it. People say, I can't say that, but I'd love to laugh. Here's someone else saying it. But the thing is, like someone said it once. They said, you know, and I always make this analogy. It's like, if I walk into a room and pull my pants down, people will laugh for a minute, and then they'll call the cops. So it's an easy laughter. It's a quick laughter, but the outcome of it is not good. But when you laugh at something clean that you approve of, you don't feel dirty. You feel good, and you want to share that with your friend. Oh, I can't share that joke with you. I heard, no. So it's harder to write clean comedy than it is to write a dirty joke or shock people with repeating a word that's not appropriate.
You know, Nazareth, you've inspired me because I love to laugh, but I don't laugh enough, and I need to really, be focused on that, you know? And I tell people that we can encourage people even by nonverbals, you know, just a simple thing like a smile can touch a person right where they're at that moment. Maybe that's just what they needed, was someone to smile at them. So laughter, it's just, I just want to laugh more. I really do. I want to lighten up. You know, everything is so serious all the time. And, you know, I'm in a business and I'm running a business. And I don't know. I just want to laugh more. And I'm going to encourage people, you know, let's just focus on laughing more. Let's try to get how many laughs in a day.
Yes. You know what? We need at least 20 minutes a day of laughter. We just to sit and watch something funny. Laugh. Look for the funny. And I tell you what, if you are a Christian and you're laughing in this moment, there's people so stressed out and scared to the point that when they see you smile, they're just attracted to you. Why are you laughing? What's so different about you? Why aren't you bummed out like everybody else? And that's your chance to shine and let them know the source of your laughter, the reason why you're laughing. And so it's all, you know, and I want to encourage people, laugh together. If you have kids, laugh with them. Watch clean comedy. I was the president of the Christian Comedy Association, and we had 300 comics in the membership. You know, Shonda Pierce, we have Sherry Shepherd from The View, we've had Mark Lowry, many, many, big name Christian comics in it. And what I thought I'd be president for life because I'm Middle Eastern, and then my son will take over, but I guess not. So, but, you know, there's a lot of work, clean comedians out there.
I'm going to be looking for them. I am.
Yes, we're
going
to be looking for them. Great product. Go to comedycrusade.com. We have YouTube videos of a lot of them that you can watch and laugh. You know what? There's a lot of working comedians. You know, one of the great ones, Tim Hawkins, right now is doing great. And, you know, it's all clean. You see Jeff Allen, you see Brad Stein, you see, you know, Taylor Mason's, all these comics, you know, Nick Arnett, Scott Wood, all these people. You see them, and they're funny. And a lot of them are in Southern California. So you just have to look. And churches need to do more comedy. I've been telling churches for years, you know what? When your congregation laugh, it just brings life to them.
Well, we have to laugh at ourselves, too, because we can get too serious with ourselves, you know, and God forgives us. And I think that it's more difficult for us to forgive ourselves than it is for God, because God forgives us. And same thing with laughter. I just think that we need to really focus on laughing at ourselves, you know, because we don't have to be so serious. My sister, that's another thing about my sister. She laughs at herself all the time. She makes jokes about herself. Another person, my sister-in-law, my kids love on Christmas Eve, they love to go to Trisha's house. And the reason is because we laugh. We laugh all night long. And it's a lot because of Trisha, because Trisha just, she makes fun of herself all the time. And the kids just roll their eyes and, you know, and she it's okay. You know, she's okay because she's fine with herself. Hey, and I have a reminder because you know what? It's my mother-in-law. She's just the dearest, my number one fan. She listens every single week, and she's listening right now, and I just want to wish her a happy, happy birthday, and I love you so much, Mom.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh. I had to say that because she's just been such an amazing woman to me. Christian woman, just amazing, and I just am so grateful for her.
And you know what, Sue, Christians, you know, what does the Bible tell us? We are, you know, man is a sinner. Humans, we're no good in our own selves. We can laugh at ourselves because our righteousness doesn't come from us looking serious and acting like everything is together and everything is good. No, the Bible never said that. Our righteousness comes from God. And if I know my righteousness and my self-respect comes from God, I can make fun of myself all day long. I can laugh about myself. I do silly stuff. I mean, I can laugh about why. I don't mind because my righteousness doesn't come from me. A lot of people, a lot of Christians are acting like, you know, everything I want to, especially when we go to church. We lie so much when we get to church. You can have the most terrible week, and then you get to church on Sunday, and you're like, how are you doing? Oh, everything is great. You liar. What are you doing here? You liar. Yeah. Tell me what's going on. Tell me, you know, we
be
try
real,
to act
be
righteous.
Real. We have to be real.
Yes, we have. You know, if anyone has to be real, it's the ones who follow Christ, because Christ said, you know, he is the truth. And why? I'm in a stage of my life where I'm in the part I love to bless people. I love to help people. And you know what? If you don't tell me what's going on, how would I know? How can I encourage you? If you come to me and said everything is fine, and then your marriage is on the rocks, and all of a sudden the church hears, oh, they left. What? They look great together. Yeah, they faked it. Good. They acted very well in front of the church. So coming to church becomes a burden on the family because everybody has to lie and look great. Where if you come in and just like, hey, I really had a terrible week. Naz, tell me a joke. Naz, encourage me. Or you know, hey, I can relate to this. I've had a challenge like this. Let me share with you. I can share with people about finances. Why? I've been through the debts. I've been through the collection agents. I've been through the whole thing. And you know what? And God got me out of it.
Right.
And I'm willing. I love to, you know, if I hear someone is going through hard times, I can encourage them at least. Why? I've been through it. But if you don't tell me, I wouldn't know.
That's what this show is about also, is that, you know, we each go through our struggles. And, I know God's been through the struggles and whatnot. And I want to help other people and encourage them and show them, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. But if you don't let people know that you're going through struggles, then we can't walk alongside you and help you along the way. Because that's, you know, I feel like that's what my purpose is. And by people not being vulnerable and honest with me, and I'm hoping I'm giving people a way, an open door. So we all have to do that. Make it safe for people to talk to you. Make it safe. And if you make it safe for people to talk to you, then you're helping walk these people alongside. And that's what you do with comedy too, because you're saying, you know, I can make fun. I can laugh at myself. Because you know what? It's okay. It's okay. We're not perfect.
No.
Right?
Far
so,
from it.
Right. But the people that are fine, which, by the way, when somebody says that they are fine, there is an acronym for that, and it's feelings inside not expressed.
Wow.
Don't you love that?
Yes.
Somebody said that to me, and I went, I got to write that down. That's really good, because I've said that. Oh, I'm fine. When really I'm hurting really terribly inside, and I know so many times. So whenever I hear someone say they're fine, I say, are you really fine? Are you really?
Yeah, you're lying to me.
Are you really?
I challenge everyone listening, when you go to church on Sunday, and I want you to go to church on Sunday because it does something if you do it right. And I will go to church, if someone says, how are you doing today? I challenge you to let them know exactly how you feel. Oh, I've had sermon, I'm having this. And you know what? That's when you know that God puts people in your path,
right,
for a purpose and allows them to pray for you. Prayer is so powerful. And if you don't let people pray for you, you are shortchanging yourself from a great tool that really can make a difference. Pray. Have people pray for you. How would they pray if they don't know what you're, you know, thank you, Lord, for them. They're doing great. Keep them doing great. No, that's not a prayer. You're hurting. Let them know.
Right. And we have to be vulnerable and transparent in order for progress or breakthrough. breakthrough can happen, but we have to be honest about where we are. It's like in the business world or anywhere you identify the problem. You have to identify the problem, and then you have different solutions that could be the right one. But if you don't identify the problem, then you can't be clear. And you have to have clarity in whatever we're doing. We have to be clear. You have to have a mission. You have to have a goal. There has to be something that we're striving for. And so you have to be clear on what that is. And we have to work that out with God, because we want to be in alignment. I know I do, and I'm hoping listeners do too. They want to be in alignment with what God had created us to do and be. And so if we're in alignment with that, then what we're going to do is we're going to ask God to reveal to us what it is we need to do. I tell people, you know, even in my workplace, I will tell people that usually your gifts, things that you like doing, are things that God has placed there because it's directing you to the path of your purpose. So if you have gifts, you have to work in those gifts. Yours is comedy. I mean, how did that start? How did it begin? And I always know in the order, a family order, how you'll have a comedian, or you'll have the serious person, or you'll have, you know, they each have their roles in the family unit. Do you find that?
Yes. So, I'm more...
Go ahead.
I think my wife is the comedian of the house.
Really?
And my kids are both performers. They do stand-up comedy. And one is 12, John is 12, Carol is 10, and I have baby Tally, which is, she's 3. Tally is Hebrew for oops, and it was a blessed oops.
I like that.
You know, my both kids are always trying to come up with jokes, and they're, yeah, hey, I can do this in my act. And they go, no, I thought of it first. But my wife is a funny one. She's the one that wakes them up in the morning singing loud and joking and tickling them. And I'm more of the serious one. I have to remind myself to laugh.
And that's pretty amazing to hear that, because I wouldn't have guessed that. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5. And you know, I wouldn't have thought that, because you're the one with the title or the, you know, the name.
Yeah.
You're the comedian. And so do you ever do like a joint act, a family act? Because I think that would be wonderful to come to see.
Well, not with my wife doesn't like the spotlights, and I respect that, and I keep her away from it. So, but
how about the children?
They do great. Sometimes I let them open for me one at a time, but depending on what they're doing. Like my son is booked right now twice, wants to do a women's event in April in Corona, and then he's doing something, the comedy gospel concert. So he's getting some bookings at a 12-year-old. My daughter is doing the school thing, the talent thing. So they're very funny. And you know, when you sit and you're talking about jokes, I mean, how fun is that when a dad sits and talks to his kids about laughter? On jokes, it's fun, but in reality, in the day-to-day thing, I have to remind myself, you know what, I need to joke more. My wife has no problem with that. She's always laughing. And
I
want
to meet your
that.
Wife. I want to meet her.
I want to meet her, too. She's been... No.
I really do. I want to meet your wife.
If you love candles, she loves you. We have so much candles, the Vatican calls us once in a while.
I love candles.
And you guys will get you'll get along very well.
Yeah, candles are great. They are.
Yeah.
Great.
So she's a wonderful lady. She has so many friends, and she prays for them. And she's a serious Bible, you know, learner. She studies the Word very, very well. And you know, she prays for me when I'm on the road, and that's the amazing thing.
Yes, it is. It's wonderful to have that support.
You know.
You okay? Need some water?
No, I'm coughing. I have some termite. No, I'm just kidding. How come you call it? I'm a comedian. This is called the termite lady, right?
Yes, I'm the termite lady.
How did you earn this title?
Oh, gee, now you're interviewing me. You know, it's like I really don't really know how I came up with a title, other than I have a girlfriend who used to do my cable commercials and print work when I first bought the company 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she said she had a dream, and it was a God dream, because she's a very strong Christian. Her name is Anne, so I'll tell you her name is Anne. And she met the love of her life on eHarmony, so there's a plug for eHarmony. But anyway, she said she had a dream, and we were trying to come up with a commercial, because I do TV commercials for Ecola. And she says, oh my gosh, Sue, I got the greatest idea. You know, there's these butterflies. They have a termite problem in the backyard, and they're going to say, oh my gosh, we've got termites. And then all of a sudden, you're going to appear out of little butterflies that fly in the air, and you're going to appear out of nowhere. And then they're going to go, who are you? And I'm the termite lady. And I'm like, oh, that is so corny. That is the corniest thing I've ever heard in my life. But we did it. We did it for three commercials. And that was the start of the termite lady, I guess. I guess that's really how it started, because one of the little girls, the doorbell rings and she goes, Mom, the termite lady's here.
Oh,
you know, because, you know, they'll say, oh, you know, well, what do you do for a living? Well, I, you know, I used to say I kill termites. But now what I say is I protect your most expensive investment, your home and your family and your environment, because truly that's what I do. And we all need to be thinking about really what we do, because we can say that it's this little thing, but really it's not. It's so much bigger than that. And I felt so much more significant in what I was doing, because I think it's important that we have a good living environment. And that goes for comedy, because you have to make an environment where your kids can grow and be encouraged and not put down. You know, we have to really guard our mouths, especially with our children. I used to always tell my children, you know, you're a blessing from God. I feel so blessed that I was given you, given the honor of being your parent for the time that he gave you to me. And I never took that lightly. When I hear a mother saying, oh my gosh, you're such a, you know, da 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 da. And I'm saying, you know, I'm so bold, and I'll go up to that mother and I'll say, you have no idea. And, you know, that is not your child. Your child is a gift from God. And you need to realize that and tell them that. You need to speak words of encouragement and build them up, because they're the future of our country. They're just the future. And our children, I mean, my children are just such a blessing to me. I just love them so much. A mother's love, it's just amazing, that love. You know, you would die for your children.
Yes.
And, you know, you just would. I mean, I would take a bullet. I would, whatever I had to do, stand in front of a train for my children. I just love them so much. And most mothers, that's how they feel. There's just that mother love. And I'm sure it'd be like that for a father, too, but I'm not a dad.
You know, I love my kids so much. I mean, I make sure every night before they go to bed, they know. I said, you know what, I'm so blessed to have you as my child. I mean, it's a great, I can't even thank God enough for you guys. And you know, but I still feel that mom loves them more. I don't know why. There's a mother's love. And I always say, I just want to, you know, I tell my kids have everything they want, because they're honor students. And I bought them this thing. They wanted to play this game. It's called, you know, Modern Warfare 2. I'm against this, but I lost the argument. And it's a Modern Warfare game. If you have kids, this is like it's a war game where they take you into, I mean, the graphics are so good. They take you into Iraq, and where the soldiers are fighting the militants, and the graphics are so good, I end up shooting two people I went to school with. And this, they're playing this game, but I get them everything. But all I ask them, I said, kids, all I want you to do is just sit for 5 minutes and let me read the Bible to you. That's all I want. And they sit, and they start fighting. Hey, he poked me. Well, listen, let me tell you about the love of Jesus for 2 minutes. Just let me listen. Hey, he poked me nigh first. No, she hit me. No, I said, shut up. Let me tell you about Jesus. But you know what? I always say, I said, just stop. Because I, as a father, I want every father to do the same thing. I have National Football League cameras installed in my house. So I can go and review the play and see. I'm like, wait a minute right here. I'll review the play. Come back. Okay, after reviewing this play, Carol, looks like your finger poked him in the eye right before his hand touched your back. Okay, Carol, go to your room, and John, first down. That's, you know, so there's always a struggle of what you don't want them to do. And it seems as a Christian, because I laugh a lot with my kids, they're accepting the fact like, oh, Dad, but we can't do this. Well, it's okay, we can't do this, but let's do that. And the big thing for me right now is like what they watch. And I'm very conservative, even though a comedian, I'm very conservative what they watch. And they want to watch, it's like, you know, Justin Bieber. What a
waste.
The Bieber.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Justin Bieber? When he was 15, he wrote a song, Baby, Baby. And in the lyrics, it said, I've been looking for you all my life. You're only 15. I mean, what all your life? You're 15. You don't even have a driver's license. Did you look for her outside of your school district? Maybe she's 15. Maybe she qualifies for the Amber Alert or something. But it's, as a dad, I want to make sure I'm going to protect their minds from the
and
dirt.
And that's so important.
Garbage.
I'm sorry to cut you off. We have 30 seconds left. I just want you to have a chance to talk to the listeners. And I'm going to have information on the SueFreeze.com page so they can look you up. But we have 30 seconds left. So what would you like to say?
I would like to encourage everyone to please laugh with your loved ones. Humor does. It's a great way to communicate. Encourage your kids. Laugh with them. You know what? Give Jesus a chance. If you don't know Christ, look at him. He's the reason. You cannot laugh when you don't know what's going to happen to you after you die. That's always going to be in the back of your head. Give your life to Christ. He'll give you eternal life. And when you do that, you'll have hope again, and you'll be able to laugh much more.
That's
and
awesome.
To pastors, I want to say, book us.
There you
we
go.
We can do fundraisers. We can do. I do a whole sermon seminar on laughter and how to bring laughter into the congregation. So stuff like that, we'd love to help you with. But you know what? Look to Christ first.
It's been great, Nazareth, having you on, and I appreciate your insight and input and your laughter and your comedy. I thank all of you for listening. Until next week, have a blessed day.
You're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy, and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.